May 28th, 2019.
You should know what it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
These are all good ones.
Okay, thank you. Last week we learned the Gemara and Daf Peites on the base, going over to Tzadik and Al, but we left out a little bit of Gemara, so we'll have to do it again tonight. Rabbi Kaplan has Yahrzeit tonight for his father, so we dedicate the learning with Zecher Nishmas Bar Yolei ben Eliyahu Kaplan. So there is a din. There is a din that in order to have kiddushin, the chasan has to be bar mitzvah, and the kala has to be a gedola. The kala has to be bas mitzvah. Or if the kala is a ktana, she can be one day old, so the father can be mekabel kiddushin for the daughter. The Gemara says in kiddushin, it's not a right thing to do that a man should marry off his daughter at a young age. You have to wait till she grows up and she agrees to marry the fellow, otherwise it's not going to be a happy marriage. Okay, but sometimes you have the father marries off the daughter. So what happens if the girl is a yesayma, and all the other girls are getting married at a young age? The father's marrying them off, and this girl's going to be the old maid in the class. So the chacham made a takana that he siyua imo viachecha. The mother, minatar, the mother has no right to marry off the child, but mid the rabbana made a takana that the mother can marry off bitoktano or Achecha, the older brothers who have passed by mitzvah, so they can marry her off. But that's only Kiddushin Derabban. So that's what the Gemara is discussing, to what extent do we say that she's considered as being married. So when a normal person gets married, so there are two stages to the marriage. There's Kiddushin and there's Nisuin. Kiddushin is Erisin, same thing. And Nisuin is what we call Chuppah. So what are the differences between Erisin and Nisuin? Erisin, the girl is an Eishes Ish, but she's still living with her parents. She's not yet Muteris Labailo. That's the bracha that you say under the chuppah. Asalana sarusas v'italanu es hanesuas lana. The husband is not allowed to live with the wife if he only has Erisin. And once you have Nisuin, then they're allowed to live together. So three of the differences are, the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about, is the woman considered Arus Anusu? What's the difference? So the Gemara says three. The Gemara rattles off three differences: liyorsha, litamila, lahafin nidareh. So the Yarsha means Abal Yarsha is Ishtoi. That's, we discussed last week a little bit, that's a machlekes hatanan, but a habal yorashe sishta is a din deraisa din derabonan, and it's a machlekes deramam and deraibit, how to paskin, deramam paskins, habal yorashe sishta is only with the rabonan, and deraibit holds that the habal yorashe sishta is a din deraisa. So that's the yorsha, habal yorashe sishta, only if there's nisuin, if there's erisin, he doesn't yarshin. If she dies during erisin, he doesn't yarshin. Then litameloh, the din is that a kohen is not permitted to be metame to meisim unless it's one of the zayin krovim. So six of the zayin krovim, six out of the seven, are blood relatives, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, or a son, or a daughter. And then the seventh relative is the spouse. If the kohen's wife dies, so he's permitted and obligated to attend the funeral. So that's vayta machloik. In the Gemara, you don't have any machloikis. It's a machloikis, the Rambam and the Rabbi. So the Rambam says that that's only midirabonon. That the husband is matami leishtoi after nisuin, that's only midirabonon. The Rabbi disagrees. Where did he get that from? There's no mocker at all to say that it's only the Rabbon. So that's letami lo. That if the wife dies during erisin, the husband is not allowed to be matami if he's a kohen. And if they already had nisuin, and then the wife dies, ishta nisua, then the baal is matami lo. And the third difference is lahafer nedoreha, that the Chumash provides in the beginning of Parshas Matos, the Chumash gives the husband the ability to be made from the nedorim, but it depends what stage in the marriage. See, if you only have erisin, if she's a naira hamarasa, either ktana or a naira hamarasa, and there's still a father, if the father's still alive, so then avi abayla mefirim nedoreha. Then you need the orus, the husband, with the father together, have to both be made for the nedorim. If only one is mefer, so the neder is still binding. You have to have both to be mefer. If the girl is ready today, the girls don't get married before the age of 12 and a half. Nobody gets married so young today. So every girl who's 12 and a half is already a bogeris. The girl is a ketana till the age of 12 when she becomes a bas mitzvah, a gedolah. And then she's a naira for 6 months. And the age of 12 and a half, she's a bogeris. So bogeris is yotze mishus avia. Those are the three stages. You have a ketana, and a naira and a bogeris. By boys, you also have three stages, a katan and a nar and a boger. But what's the significance of the first 3 months? By a girl, it's 6 months between the age of 12 and the age of 12 and a half. So she has the status of a nar. She's still b'shus avia. She's a gedola. She's still b'shus avia. The father is entitled to maisa yodeho. If she earns some money, the father's entitled to it. Father still has a right to marry her off. Different schusim. And if someone is ma'anas on the fatahar, so the father gets the money. And by a boy, you have also three stages. In the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they make the parallel. So they say, akotim before the age of bar mitzvah is not chayv in mitzvahs. And if he does an aver, you don't punish him. The first 3 months after his bar mitzvah, he has the ability to become a ben sor mar, to be chayv mitzvah. If he steals money from the parents and he eats basa v'yayin he hangs out with a bunch of gangsters, so then he can become a ben saramar. After 3 months are up, he's already like bagrus, and he's on his own, and he's no longer b'shus his parents, and there's no din of ben saramar. So the three dinim that are nafkemina, if she's an arusa or a nesua, the third din is lahafin nederel, that if she's a ketana or a naira and she takes a neder, and she's only a mu'urasa, so you need hafaras and derm. The oris with the baal, the oris with the father. Avi abayla mefirim nederah b'shutfas. Both have to be made. If she's already bogeres, past the age of 12, but if she's no longer b'shus avia, then she can't have a hafaras in dorm, because the oris alone cannot be made in the dorm. But if she's already a nesua, then once you have nesuin, she's yotza b'shus avia, she's completely out of the b'shus of the father. So then after nesuin, the husband can be made in the dorm. So here the Gemara is going to quote a machloik, this is what we left out last week, around 10 lines in the middle. The Gemara quotes a machloik, is hatanoim, regarding kiddush ektana. If you have, a ktana was married off not by her father, the mother married her off, she's yisayma. The mother married her off, or the older brothers married her off. So the chachamim instituted that there's such a marriage. She's allowed to live with her husband. It's not called the biyaznu. She's allowed to live with her husband. And if she wants to break the marriage, she has, needs some. She can't just walk away. Either she needs a get, or she has to go to a bezin and be miyun. If she does miyun, so it, we consider it as if the marriage was annulled. She was never married to the person at all, and she's permitted to marry a kohen now. She's not considered a grusha asur l'kohen. She's considered as if she was never married, and now if she wants to, she can marry the brother of her first husband. Or the son of the first husband, whoever it was, because she was never married to him. But if the husband to whom she was married off by her mother, if the husband gives her a get, then she's considered a grusha the rabbanim. And I told her she's not married at all. So all the tanaim agree that there is an institution of kedusha ketana, and the ishas can be broken up either by they get that will be mikana l'haba and should be considered a grusha, or by they miyun. And if it's like that, meaning it's oika the whole ishas melemafreya, considered as if she was never married. They just argue, what about the other dinim that usually come along with marriage? Also, she's considered an almana, so she won't be allowed to marry a kohen gadol. Probably can't marry a kohen gadol anyway. She'll be a beula. Kohen gadol has to marry a kim besula miyam lav yikachisha.
Can she marry one of the
kohen? I don't think so. No. Only if they broke up the marriage with miyun, she has to appear in front of the bezin and say she's not happily married. She wants them to cancel the marriage. Then it's considered oika the halishus lemafres, considered as if it was annulled. But if he dies, then she's an almana. He said that there was a marriage, and now she's an almana. So the Gemara quotes the machlokes hatanoim. To what extent do we say that there was a marriage? So one Tana, Reb Lezer, is of the opinion. What does the Gemara call it here? Reb Lezer says the line begins with the words "Ein ma'asek tana klum." It's about 13-14 lines from the bottom. The line begins with the words "Ein ma'asek tana klum." What do you mean "Ein ma'asek tana klum"? Means liyosha letami lelohafin nedareha. All the dinim that normally come along with a marriage, yefta nisu, and don't apply here. But this he does agree. Reb Lezer does agree. It's not "Ein ma'asek tana klum." She needs either a get or miyun. She does need a get. That's what the Gemara says later. But Reb Lezer holds all three dinim don't apply. Liyosha the time of the hafen derev, all the other dinim that apply to a marriage don't apply over here. And Bisham and Bisil don't agree with him, and we don't accept Reb Lezer's opinion. We assume that the other dinim do carry along. Liyosha the time of the hafen derev would apply over here. But the Gemara quotes him, Achloikes Bisham and Bisil, when do you say Liyosha? Let's say the fellow was married to the Ketana, and she has a big Yerusha. Let's say the father died and only had daughters, and the mother married her off, and she got a big Yerusha when the father died. So then if the girl is still not a bas mitzvah, she can still be memayin. There's a possibility she can be memayin on the husband, which will be okay, the whole marriage melamafreya. It'll come out that she was never married before. She was never married at all. So if the wife dies, she can't be memayin anymore. But until the minute that she died, there was the theoretical possibility that she could be memayin. So the Beis Shammai say that that's not right. That you should say the husband should yarshin here. Hatanya, the Gemara quotes, how do you describe where it is? It's in the Gemara, in between the Tosfos de la Nichnas al Chuppah and Mishatamid Bikai Masa. So there's a line in between that says, the line begins with the word lakadov ben atur. That's what we had. We're in the middle of a long Gemara. So there was a machlokes, Rav Chisda in the other Amoraim. Rav Chisda and Rabba. Rav Chisda is of the opinion that the Chachamim have such authority, yeshkech v'achacham, even lakadov ben atur, bikum v'yasei. They even have authority to tell you not to follow the dinim. They can't change the dinim. I have authority to tell you not to follow the dinim in the Torah, even the kumbi asay, to go ahead and do something that's awesome in our Torah. And we're not going to accept his opinion. The maskanas Agmar is going to be not like Rav Chisda, but rather like Rabba. So the Gemara says over here, the Rabba asked the Kasha, or Rav Chisda asked the Kasha here, Sholach le Rav Chisda le Rabba, he asked the following Kasha. You're trying to tell me. Rabba is trying to convince Rav Chisda that Bezna only has authority to tell me not to observe mitzvahs, not to fulfill a mitzvah like when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So they tell me, even though I'm in Atar Mukhiv to blow shofar, they tell me don't blow shofar. Or they tell me, you have a beggar, shall pishton menatar, you mechuyev to put in tzitzis, in linen garments, four-corner garment. Some of the rabbanim, they say, you're not allowed to put in any tzitzis. Sadin betzitzis, so you're not allowed to put in tzitzis. A gershon is gari erev Pesach menatar, is chayv to bring a korban Pesach min rabbanim, you're not allowed to do. So that's yesh keach be'achachamim, lachatot menatar, b'shevi altasa, to tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah. Do they have the authority to tell us to go and to do an avera? Also to tell us, we authorize you, even though this did in the Torah, that this is usher, we authorize you to go ahead and violate the avera. So Rav Chisda holds that yesh koach lakor, even bikum b'yasei, and Rabbi disagreed with him. So Rav Chisda is going to prove that he's right. So he says, you are telling me, ain't there's masim lakadov minatar, you're trying to tell me that they only have authority to be a kadov minatar b'shev al tas aibu hatanya. We have the following braises. So what does it say? By a normal girl who's married menatayra, so the wife dies, so the husband gets the Yerusha. Either it's a din menatayra, din min derabban. Machleg is atanoim. But the bal yorosh es ishta is derai, so derabban, machleg is deramam derabi. Here we're talking, a ktano got married. Ktano yisayma got married. Not a yidei avir. He's yor ima v'yachero. So theoretically, the girl could have been mamayin until the day that she died. After she's dead, it's too late. She can't be mamayin. But theoretically, she could have been mamayin. So Bisham, I say, since theoretically she had the ability to be mamayin, it's not right to say that the husband yarshins. It's only the whole ishus could have been. It's so flimsy. It could have been annulled if the girl would have been mamayin. So they say Bisham Yomrim, the husband only yarshins. If the kiddushin is a kiddushin miyun derabbanan, mishetamad b'kaimasa, only when she reaches a certain age. What does that mean, mishetamad b'kaimasa? When she reaches the age that she's fully developed. What do the words mean? So Rashi says, when she becomes bas mitzvah. Once she's a bas mitzvah, she can't be mamayin. The din that the kiddushin ktana lends itself to miyun, the husband doesn't have to give a get. If the girl appears in front of a bezin, she says, I want you to annul my marriage so the bezin can do it. So that's only because once she's still a ketan. Once she becomes a gedolah, she can't be mamayin. So the way Rashi learns Beishamai, the husband doesn't yarshin until they reach the point in the marriage that it can't be undone. The marriage could not have been undone with an annulment after she becomes a gedolah. Tosfos says, what kind of a funny way of expressing yourself is that? Beishamai says, mishetamid b'kamasa, when she reaches fully grown, say mishetagdil. The husband only yarshins mishetagdil. What kind of a lashon mishetamid b'kaimos? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and they say shetamid b'kaimos means when she looks like she's a gedolah, even though she's only 10 years old. Sometimes you have a 10-year-old who looks like a 12-year-old. She looks older than her age. So the Bishamis say, why should it depend whether she looks like she's a gedolah or not? So Tosfos says the last two lines in the Tosfos b'kaimosa. Vayonirim divrei chachamim k'machucha b'yetlula im haya yorsha. The girl looks so young; she doesn't look like she's 12 years old. If she already looks like she's 12 years old, so it makes sense to say they were married and the wife died and the husband gets the yerusha. But she looks like a little girl. We know that there's no father of him. No, that girl is yisayma. So it looks like a chucha b'yetlula. It looks like a joke to say that they're married. So that's how Tosfos interprets. Okay. And Rashi interpreted not so. We don't pass like Beishamai anyway, so it's not too relevant what Beishamai said. But Rashi interprets Beishamai that up until she becomes a gedolah, she could be mamayin. So therefore, it's not right to say that the husband yarshins. Once she becomes a gedolah, she tamid become us, then she can no longer have miyun. So then the marriage is a stronger marriage. She's still only married midirabbanan. But not all, there are different Kiddushin derabbanan. There are Kiddushin derabbanan, Eshes Ishma derabbanan, you need a get. The only Eshes Ishma derabbanan that you don't need a get, you can undo it, Agdei Miyun, is Kiddush Ektan. But once the Ektan grows up, she becomes a Gedolah, so no longer the marriage, marriage is still only with derabbanan, but it no longer lends itself to be undone, to be annulled with a Miyun. And Basila disagree with the Bisham. Basila say, the husband can be Mefud, and the husband can be Yarshin, his wife, once you have nisuin, when you have only erisin, all the three dinim don't apply. Liyorsha letamila hafana dera don't apply. Those are the three differences between arusa and nisua. So the silver stem is shittikanis lechupa. The Gemara is going to explain. According to Bishamai, also you need mishittikanis lechupa. If she's only an arusa, the Baal does not yarish. Bishamai said you need mishittikanis lechupa plus mishittamid bekaimasa. According to Rashi, it means she's a gedola, and according to the Tosis, she looks like she's a gedola. Okay, the Gemara is going to touch it up. Now, Blessed says no mishittiboil. The husband only yarshins if they had already bia. The Gemara is going to explain what is that all about. Okay, we'll get to the Gemara. And then it says, and then the Brisa continues, that all the three dinim apply. All the three dinim. The Yosha metamila and doesn't have lahaf in the dera, has achelis begino truma. That's another din. That min hatorah, if a girl is married to a kohen, even though there's only erisin, the husband is a kohen, the wife is not. So we say ishtik kegufay, the wife is allowed to eat truma. And with the rabbanon, they made exera that arusa is not permitted to eat truma. The gemara has another mesichta. The gemara explains different reasons why arusa is not allowed to eat truma. She's only allowed to eat truma after nisuin. So here the issue is only with the rabbanon. And atorah, she's not even married to the kohen, but nonetheless she is permitted to eat truma. Okay. So the Gemara is going to review the Brisa again and give a running commentary on every line. So they quote again a line from the Brisa. B'shami amrim mishatamid b'kaimasa. The husband yarshins his wife once she becomes a gedola, or once she looks like she's 12 years old. She looks mature for her age. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The husband yarshins afagav de la nichnas alechupe, even though she's only arusa. The din is an arusa in achelus. The arusa, the baal does not yarshin. And for the Gemara, no. Eima zagazo. You have to add on. Shetam it become masav in tikonis lechupa. Of course, you need tikonis lechupa. Beishami agree with the basil. Beishami agree with the basil. Of course, the baal is not yarsha. Kozman she's not nechnesis lechupa. But the Beishami say that's not enough. Tikonis lechupa is not enough because. Since she could have theoretically been Mimayin, so it's not right the husband should Yarshin. So you have to wait till she becomes a Gedola, till she looks like she's a Gedola. So then you say that the husband Yarshin. Okay. And the Gemara is now filling in the rest of the Pshat in the Braisa. V'hochi kom rulei Beishama le Beisil. This is what Beishama argues with Besediko Amritu. You, Beisil, will say, Mishi Tikonis Lechup, the girl is married off by her mother, by her older brothers. So it's an Ishus de Rabbanon. And then if you have a chuppah, then she's in the suah, and the baal is yarshis ishta after nisuin. So the Beishamai disagree with Beisil. The silver sham should become the chuppah is all you need. When you have nisuin, you have the yarsha, the tamil, the haf, and the rea, and she's achelus b'chuma, all the four dinim. Beishamai say no. Yom debucham asa ma'an yala chuppah, v'iloi, no ma'an yala chuppah. You need chuppah plus, she should look like she's a gedola. Beisil disagree. Beisil say no. Mishitikonis lechupa, habal yarshin is his wife's shot. And Reb Lezer, Reima, Mishiti boil. Reb Lezer says the husband only yarshins by Kiddushin the Rabbanon, the husband only yarshins the wife if they had bia together. So the Gemara says this doesn't fit in with what Reb Lezer is going to say later in the Mesichta. Later there's a whole parak that deals with the din, this din with the Rabbanon of Kiddushik Tana that lends itself to Miyun. So the Gemara says, there's something fishy over here. How can it be? Rablezer later, when they're going to have the whole sugya, the whole perek that discusses the din ma'miyun, he holds ein ma'ase ktana klum. He holds that the takana de rabbanon that you have issues for ktana is only lahatira labayla, and you need a get or you need miyun. But all the other dinim, liyosha, latamila, lahafir, and the dera, lachal betrum, all the other dinim do not apply. So how can he say over here that the husband does Yashin Misha Tiboil? It contradicts what he says later. And for the Gemara, no. What Reb Lezer meant to say was, Ema Zogazo, you have to explain, there's something missing. Just like in Beis Shammai, there was something missing. And the Brisa of Anasam, Shetamid Bikaimos, and the Gemara said it means, Misha Tikonis Luchup Vitamid Bikaimos. So Reb Lezer also said, Misha Tiboil, also something missing. The Gemara says, Ema Zogazo, Misha Tagdel Vitiboil. That's what it means. What does that mean? A man marries a ketana, so it's only kedushin de rabbanon. But everybody knows that it's only kedushin de rabbanon. So after he celebrates his wife's bas mitzvah, they have a bas mitzvah party for his wife when she reaches a birthday party when she reaches the age of 12. And then he knows that he's only married midrabbanan, and everybody wants to be married alat sada yosetov, to be really married minatora. So the next time he's going to be together with his wife, so mishitagda liti boil, if they're going to have bia after she becomes a gdola, then kiddushit bia will make an ishus. So then it's a real ishus deraisa, an ishus deraisa. So then Reb Lezer will agree, you have all the dinim. All the dinim will apply once you'll convert the ishus into an ishus deraisa.
Without the eidim?
You have to have eidim. So here, where are the eidim? So the Rishonim explain another place. Here they don't say Anadav. The Rishonim explain another place is, since all the people in the neighborhood know that they're married, and they know that the married people live together, they don't know exactly what night they're going to be together, so it's considered as if there are religious Jews in the neighborhood, you have to have two kosher eidim. So if they live in a Jewish neighborhood, and the people know that they're living together, kederach ish v'ishta, so they know that there's kiddushit bia. And we assume that Adam Yadeh, everybody knows that kiddushit kan is only the rabbanon, and people, everybody would like to have a kiddushin deraisa. So we assume that is boy lushen kiddush. So since everybody knows, that's the equivalent of edus lakim ador, right?
Can't be. What if you have 8 to 12 bunch of people,
could
be
krovim
people standing there? Possible
edus. And you should say korv apostle. There's a din. So Tosfos Takasha, every wedding, whenever you have any wedding, most of the people, many of the people attending the wedding are relatives. So how Lamotzini Deina Raglena, Tosis asks. Tosis asked it by a get. Apparently in the days of the Baliatosis, when a couple would get divorced, all the cousins would come to attend the festivities. Today, the relatives don't come to the get, they come to the Kiddushin, they come to the wedding. So the same kasha that Tosis asked by the get, you can ask by the wedding. You have to have two Eidim, two kosher Eidim, to see that the chosen said harayat, and he gave the ring to the kala. But if you have posel Eidim attending the wedding also, shouldn't that be in violation of the nimsech and my Eidim karva posel? Eidim is cool and betela, the whole Eidim is no good. So Tosis comes up at the answer. The only time there's a din of karva posel, that even the Eidim of the ksherim is no good, that's only Eid hameid. If they came to Bezdin and they testified, and a whole group, three people or more, testified, and one of the Eidim Sulim testified together with the Eidim Ksherim, then you say Korav Apostle. But if it's only Eid Haroya, they were watching, but they didn't, Lamaisa, they didn't, the Apostle Eidim didn't come to Bezdin and testify, so the din of Korav Apostle doesn't apply.
Didn't the Rav say, when he said that, to the exclusion of all others, why would he need that for?
That's, the Shach quotes the Ritva, as that Chumer, the Ritva in Makkos and the Ritva in Kiddushin, as a chumer, that how does Tosis know that that's so? That you only apply nimtzach and eidim karva posel eidus kulim b'teila only applies by eid hamei. It doesn't apply by eid haroya. So Tosis says because the Gemara in Makkah says al pishnayim eidim al pishlosh eidim yokum dover. So why does it say shlosha? If shnayim are good, kal v'chomer that shlosha is good. So the Mishnah says l'hakis shlosha l'shnayim. Just like if you have two eidim, and one of them is posel, you're left with an ed echod, so it's no good. You're not going to win the case. So if you have shlosha, one of them is no good. The other two are also no good because of karva posel. So the Gemara says, but it says yokum dover. So the Gemara said that be mekaymi dover hakas medaba, only if he's an ed hameyed. If he's an ed haraya, then he's not mekaym anything. So the Ritva says in the name of his rabbein, by medvar mamurim, when he say that ed haraya doesn't accomplish anything, that's if there's a murder, if there's a halva, there's a hezek, and there are three witnesses watching, and the Pasul Eid doesn't come to Bezin. Whoever doesn't come to Bezin to testify accomplishes nothing. But by Gitmei Kedushin, that you need Eidus Lekiyim Adover, that's what we call it. So they are Mekayim Adover. Just by watching, they are Mekayim Adover. So even though Tosis is right in all other cases, that you wouldn't apply Nimtzeh Mem Karva Pasul Eid is only Eid Haroya, but by Kedushin, it's Mekayim Adover, even just an Eid Haroya does accomplish. So you should say Korav Apostle. So the Gemara says, how can you fix it? How can you avoid the psul of Korav Apostle? The Gemara says, tell the Eidim Shem, they should have in mind, we don't want to be mitzarf with the others. So that's Rav Soloveitchik, when he first came to America, he spoke English like a foreigner. After many years of speaking English, he spoke like an American. But when he first came, he didn't speak normal English. So he used to say, he wants these two Eidim to be Eidim to the exclusion of all others. What do you mean to the exclusion of all others? They should exclude themselves from the others. We too, kosher Edom, don't want to be mitzarek with the others. So the Gemara says that that's good. If they have in mind, we don't want to be mitzarek with the psulim, so you can't. They don't become possible. But that's lahachmer, that's to be choshish with the shittas aritvo, that by gitmei kedushin, since you need what we call edus lekim adava, just by watching the Edom accomplish something, they cause the kedushin to be chal. Even if they don't come to Bezin to testify. So there's an issue, a kor of a puzzle, even just by Eid Hara. So we're machmer for that. Well, Mikra Din, Rav Soloveitchik thought you don't really need it. Mikra Din, he thought the din is really lactosis. Every so often there would be a case that I remember one of my chavruses got married. I was single, so I attended the wedding. So my friend asked me to be one of the Edim, and I didn't know who the other Ed was. So when we sat down to eat by the meal, so all the single boys were sitting at one table. I sat down next to the other Ed. So I said, Shalom Aleichem, my name is Herschel Schechter. I learned b'chavruses with the chosn. What's your name? So he tells me his name. And he tells me he's the first cousin of the chosn. I said, you can't be a first cousin, then you're postulatus. He says, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the dinim are. He's the first cousin of the chosn. So the chosn comes in from the yichud room, and at the end of the first dance, I went over and I asked him, your cousin tells me that he's the first cousin. He's not postulatus. He said, he's the first cousin from the mother's side. So I said, still postulatus. The Rambam says, there's a funny line in the Rambam. The Rambam says that the relatives from the father's side are posel min haTorah. The relatives from the mother's side are posel midivrei sofrim. So the case of Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara has in the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam, he says divrei sofrim over here. Divrei sofrim means Torah shebal peh. So sometimes divrei sofrim in the Rambam means dinim derabbanan, and sometimes it means dinim deraisa that the chachamim developed. So here the case of Mishnah thinks that it means min haTorah, divrei sofrim. Whatever it is, it's still posel leidus. So he got all nervous. Rabbi Soloveitchik did not attend that wedding. So he asked me to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik the next day. So he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, Chos wants to know, what does he do? He singled out one of his cousins to be the aid. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Gornish, were there any other kosher aidim watching? So he said, yeah. The Mesadik Kedushin was watching. Mesadik Kedushin was one of the Rabbanim from Queens. So he said, good, no. So I was one aid, and the Mesadik Kedushin was another aid. So you had two kosher aidim. He thought that the whole Yichud Edom is only a Chumrah. The Shach quotes it as a Chumrah from the Ritva that was introduced in the days of Rabbi Sab Shel HaRitva. The Ra'o was the Rebbe of the Ritva. The Ra'o was the Talmud of the Ramban. So that's when they introduced this Chumrah, that you should be Miyachad Edom by the Chasana. Before the days of the Ritva, the common practice was, and for many years, even after the Ritva, the common practice was, the chosn gave the ring to the caliph, said, Harayat Mekudeshes, and all the people were sitting in the audience. They didn't call up two Edim under the chuppah.
Yeah, but here, the miyached, the posel Edim.
Right. So a group of Rishonim say, if you miyached the posel Edim, then it makes it worse. If you single them out, then it makes it worse, and you do say karva posel. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a chasam sofer, but if the yichud was betoyes, then it's not called the yichud. Here the chosn didn't know that he... The chosn would have known that he's posulatus. He thought the relatives on the mother's side are not posulatus. Whenever the yichud was betoyus, so the chasam sofer says that's not called yichud edim. And the mele, that chumrah from the rishonim wouldn't apply. Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva. In the Achiezer, there was a girl was a grusha and she lived on the Lower East Side. Rav Chaim Moshe died around 1940 or so. So the girl was a grusha, she was looking for a shidduch. So every time she would go out on a date with a boy, none of the boys were religious, but she wasn't going to marry a kohen. She knows a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. So whenever she'd go out with another boy on a date, so she would ask the boy, are you a kohen? So whenever they said they're a kohen, said that was the end, she's not going to go out with this guy. So she went out with a fellow, she asked, are you a kohen? Zaktanen. So they got married. And then a couple of days into the Shiva Simeon Mishnah, he tells her, by the way, I am a kohen. So she was upset, so she said, you told me you're not a kohen. So she said, we're going back right now, they're going to take a taxi, they're going to go back to the Masada Kedushin, and he's going to get a get. She doesn't want to be married to a kohen. She obviously, the fellow was not observant anyway. The fellow was not religious at all. But this she didn't want, to marry a kohen she didn't want. So they took a taxi, and then the taxi stopped for a red light, and the chosn jumped out of the taxi and he disappeared. So the girl was stuck, she's an aguna, she's an eshesish. They don't know how to get the husband. So the Rav in New York sent a shayla to Rav Chaim Oizer, maybe we should consider it a kiddush atoyes, because every single time she went out with a boy on a date, she would always ask, are you a kain? Because I'm a grusha, I can't marry a kain. Here, she also asked, but the boy fooled her. So maybe it should be considered kiddush atoyes. Rav Chaim Oizer writes in the tshuva, he's not prepared to be making on that alone, the kiddush atoyes, because sometimes the girls will be so desperate for a shidduch. Amen. Sometimes the girls will be so desperate for the shidduch, so they'll even compromise on their principles, and she'll marry a kohen. So he's not going to be relying on that alone. So he says, another tzad l'halacha was, that over here, the rabbi asked the chassan, whom do you want to be edim under the chuppah? So he asked his friends to be the edim. His friends would eat chazer on Yom Kippur. At that time, the Jews were not observant. They didn't keep Shabbos kashas. They didn't keep anything. Only Grusha Lekoyin, she was nervous. Everything else she wasn't nervous about. So he says, since the Rambiyachid edim psulim, so a whole group of Rishonim, the Ramban and Yeshnechel and the Ramban and the Ritvo and the Chidush Aran, all three say the same. Even though you don't say Karva Pasal Eid Haraya, but if you miyachid him, you singled him out that he should be one of the Eidim, and he does have a Shem Eid, then you do say Karva Pasal. The Chaim Moshe was makel that she doesn't need again because of the tziruf of the two considerations. Maybe it's a Kedusha Toys, but he wasn't so convinced, and maybe the din of Karva Pasal should apply. Yeah, but over there, the Chosin knew who they were. He knew that they were Bali Aver, knew that they ate the Chazar on Yom Kippur. And he didn't care. Oh, yeah, the chassan didn't realize that this is a puzzle. Yeah.
Shachter,
so
why would we believe her to say that every guy she goes out with, she asks him, blah, 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 blah. Maybe she's just making it up.
We asked the people, and they all say the same thing. Everybody said that was always one of the questions on the first date.
Oh, all the boys who went out with her, we asked.
Yeah, none of them are observant. No, nobody's religious over here, but still, everybody knew that the girl was a grusha. She didn't want to marry a kohen. Apparently, that was known. Okay, that's the Gemara.
Right, Rabbi Elazar says,
what do you say?
According to Rabbi Elazar, when she grows up and he's not full of her, she's still a full wife, right? She can't be
here,
and she's just not
Yorusha? Yeah, all the dinim, the four dinim. The Yorusha, the Tamila, the Hafen, and the Dereo, and Achelas B'Tshuma, all the dinim don't apply until she become an Ishus Ish Dereis. Because this Ishus is a weaker Ishus, yeah. If you have Bia after she becomes a Gedolah, so we say, Arim Yadesh Ein Kedusha Ketana Klum. Everybody knows that it's only Kedusha in the Rabbanon. And everybody knows that there's an institution of Kedusha Bia. Everybody knows that. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. Everybody knows such a thing as Kedusha Bia, and everybody would want to have a Kedusha in their Isa, so everybody would assume that all the people in the neighborhood will assume that it was probably Boil Hashem Kedusha after her Bas Mitzvah party.
Rav Magid?
Yeah, the Gemara says you give Makas Mardas, you're not allowed to be Makadosh but Bia. But over here, he was allowed to have Bia with her because he had a Kedusha in the Rabbanon. That's the question. Isn't that itself Yeshkerach Yerachachamim? Lakadov and Atar Bikum, I say. That's what Taisa says. How can they make such a takana that it's a Kiddush in the Rabbanu? They allowed a boy and a girl to live together. They're living together, and they're not really married, Ben Atar. They're only married by the Rabbanu. So isn't that itself a violation of Akira's Dov and Atar Bikum, I say? We allow single people to live together, even though there's no Kiddush in their Isa. So Taisa gives some kind of an answer. Since the miyuchad together, some Rishonim hold that pilegesh is muteris lehedyot. Pilegesh is muteris lemelach. That everybody agrees. The Aval HaMelach had noshim and pilakshim, so we assume that that's permissible for the melach. It says in Parshas Melach, in Sefer Melachim, when Bnei Yisrael were complaining to Shmuel HaNavi, they want to have a melach like all the other nations in the world have. So Shmuel HaNavi tried to dissuade them from having a melech. So he gives them a whole drosha. He says the melech is going to charge tax and he's going to draft your children into the army. And he's going to take your daughters as pilakshim and to work for him, to cook and to have the men work to build them a beautiful palace and so on. So the Gemara has a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel in the second parak in Sanhedrin. That's called Parshas HaMelech. That whole drasha that Shmuel HaNavi gave to the Bnei Yisrael, why he was trying to dissuade them from having a melech. So that's called Parshas HaMelech. So we pass on like Shmuel, who says, Kol HaOmer b'Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are all the legitimate privileges that the king has. King is allowed to take your daughters as pilakshim, and he may charge tax. That's the whole mocker for the institution of Dinan or Chusadinan, that the government has a right to charge tax. So the original mocker is Parshas HaMelech, and we paskin like Shmuel. Rav holds no kolom and Parshas Melech, Melech Asaba. These are the evils of the king, that they charge tax and they take your daughters as pilakshim. All of this is Asa. And we don't paskin like Rav, we paskin like Shmuel. Kolom and Parshas Melech, all the things that Shmuel mentions in his drasha to dissuade Bnei Yisrael from appointing a king, these are the legal rights of the king. Melech Mutabo, he's permitted. He's permitted. There's a run in the Dorm. The Dorm goes around 90 blot Gemara, something like 90 blot. So in the middle of the Dorm, there are people, they don't know the first 30 blot, they don't know the last 60 blot, but they know one run on Daf Chav Ches. The run on Daf Chav Ches in the Dorm quotes the opinion of the Baal HaTosis that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to pay tax. So everybody knows that run. Why? So the Baal HaTosis say the theory between the philosophy behind the right of the king to charge tax is that the Queen of England owns Great Britain and the King of France owns France. And the king of any country owns the country, so he has a right to charge you rent if you want to live in his country. So what's the rent? So they usually charge income tax. That's the way they calculate the rent. And if you don't pay the rent, then you're stealing. You have no right to live. Like if I own an apartment house and I rent out the apartment. So if someone climbs in the window and he lives in one of the apartments without paying me rent, he's a gazla. So the Ran says in the name of the Baal HaTosis, Bamedvar Mamun, that's only all the other countries in the world. But Eretz Yisrael, it says, Kili Kol Haaretz. The Rabbanu Shalom is the Baal HaBas. The Rabbanu Shalom owns Eretz Yisrael. And he encourages all the Jewish people to come live in Eretz Yisrael. So who has the right to charge rent? You have no right to charge any rent. That's what the Ran quotes in the name of the Baal HaTosis, that you have no right to charge rent in Eretz. You have no right to charge tax in Eretz Yisrael. You only have the right to charge tax in other countries. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that opinion is not even mentioned. They don't even mention that opinion. It doesn't even have honorable mention. Different sections in Shulchan Aruch were based on different Rishonim. Like Hilchosh, the first Chelek Yerodeah is all from the Rashbon, the Torah Sabayis. Everything, the whole system, the whole Chelek Alf Yerodeah is all based on the Rashbon, the Torah Sabayis. Hilchosh Avelis is all from the Ramban, in the Torah HaAdam. And much big chunks of Chayesh Mishpat are based on the Sefer HaTrumos, that's the Talmud of the Rambam, Sfardish Pesach. And this part of Chayesh Mishpat, the end of Chayesh Mishpat, about paying tax, this is word for word from the Rambam. Much of the Tzitzis and Tefillin, much of Aruch Chaim is also based on the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So this part is also straight from the Rambam. So the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Rambam, is even a Goyish king and a Goyish country also has the right to charge tax. A Yiddish king in Eretz Yisrael certainly has a right to charge tax. That's the deal. It's like Shmuel, Kol HaOmer b'Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. Whatever it says in Sefer Shmuel, in the drasha that Shmuel HaNavi gave Bnei Yisrael. So whatever he told the people, you don't want a king because he's going to do X, Y, Z. So we assume these are the legal rights of the king. He has a right to charge tax. Truth of the matter is that even if you would hold like the Ran B'Shem Baal HaTosfos, that whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to pay tax, that's Bayama Bahem Bazmanahu, it doesn't apply Bazmanazet. That's when the taxes just went to enrich the king. So what right does it have? Why does the king have the right to charge tax? So the Baal HaTosfos say, because the country belongs to him, and this is his the rent. You have to pay rent. And he says, we want to take income tax. But Bazmanazet, the whole theory behind taxes is totally different. If you live in a country that's a democracy, so the government provides services. They deliver mail, and they purify the water, and they have a fire department, and they pave the streets, and they plant trees, and they have public schools. They have whatever the people need to become. They collect the garbage. They do so many different things. So in Shulchan Aruch and Chayesh Mishpat, there's a section that's called Hilchos Shluchim Meshutvim. What are the dinim of the shutvim? So all the dinim, let's say all the people who live in the neighborhood need a mikveh, most of the people. the older people don't need a mikveh anymore, but you go bus a rive. So if a rive of the people feel that they need a mikveh, so you can make even the miyut have to pay to make a mikveh. The people need a beis haknesses, so they can force each, it's a din of shutfim. All the people that live in the same area who share certain needs in common, so the halacha declares they have a din of shutfim, and the shutfim can be kai for each other based on whatever the rive. Let's say you have a company, and everybody has shares in the company. Some people have 50 shares, some people have 100 shares, some people have one share. So everybody has the right to vote according to how many shares he has. And then if there's chiluk edayah, so you go basarayv. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you go basarayv. So the Vilna Gaon says, how do you know that you go basarayv when you have a meeting of the shareholders? So the pasuk in Mishpatim, acharav lahatas. The pasuk goes on a bezin, if there's a split vote in the bezin. But the Vilna Gaon holds the pasuk goes on that case also, when you have shutfim in a company. So whatever the rov of the shutfim vote for, that's what that prevails. So we in America, we consider everybody is part of three different kinds of shutfis. There's a shutfis on a municipal level. There's certain needs that are taken care of by the municipal government. There's certain things taken care of by the state government. Certain things are taken care of by the federal government. So we have to pay three different kinds of taxes because we're shutfim on three different levels. So in Eretz Yisrael also, the taxes don't go to enrich the prime minister or the president. The parliament, the Knesset, voted how much salary he should get. He's entitled to a salary. And if you think he's getting too much salary, so tell your Chavri HaKnesset, whom you elected, tell him to give him less salary. We elected people to the Knesset. They decide how much salary he gets. So in Eretz Yisrael today, in America today, let's say, you're not giving the taxes to enrich the king. The taxes are to cover all the expenses of the shutfis. And whoever doesn't, let's say, whoever doesn't pay taxes in America, it's not that he's stealing from the Goyish government, he's stealing from me. Because I do pay taxes. So my taxes are much higher than they should be because of all the people who are cheating on taxes. They're not paying taxes. If you have a shutfis and they had a meeting and they all voted, 90% of the shutfim voted they want to do something, and 10% are not happy. So the din is the miyut have to go along with the rive. So if the miyut are not going to chip in the money that they're mukhayif to give, they're stealing from all the other shutfim. So whenever you have a country, and someone doesn't pay his taxes, he's not stealing from the government. He's not stealing from the Goyish government. He's stealing from all the shutfim, the Jews and the non-Jews alike. Yeah, that's a big problem. People don't realize that. It's a whole different story. The whole discussion in the Rishonim doesn't apply today because today the taxes go to cover the expenses of all of the services that are given to all of the citizens. So Nachamo. So the Gemara quotes, just to review again what we learned last week, the Gemara quotes this Braisa that there is an institution of a marriage that's only midirabbanan kiddushi ketana yisayma. If the father marries off the ketana, that's a kedushin deraisa. If the mother marries off, or the older brothers marry off, it's only kedushin derabbanan. So ben atara, the husband does not yarshin; he's not even married. But the rabbanan, we make believe, we treat it as if they're married, and the husband is entitled to take the money. Well, how is he entitled to take the money? It's gezel. Ben atara, the money belongs to her. When she dies, the ketana dies; it goes to her father. It goes to her brothers, whatever. She has no children. She just got married. She's a little girl. She didn't become pregnant yet. So Manatari, the Yerusha goes to her father. The father's not alive, so it goes to the brothers. And with the Rabbanan, we allow the husband to steal the money from her brothers. So that's Lo Sigzol. So don't you see, Yesh Kach Laka Bikum Yaseh? So that's what the Gemara said. That's the Kasha Deha Hochan Iske. Midaraisa, Avua Yaris Lo. Avua means either the father or the relatives from the father. It means the brothers. How does the husband have the right to take the money? It's gesel. So the bezin allows the husband to violate lo sigzel bikum yaseh. So to this, the Gemara answers, hefke bezna hefke. Whatever they make a takana de rabban, the area of the imaminis, that doesn't pose a problem. That's not akiris dov menadur. Every takana de rabbanon that has to do with the imaminis is based on the mechanism of how it works, is based on hefke bezna hefke. So there's no violation of gesel. And then the rest of the Gemara we covered last week. Okay. The rest we covered already till the top line. Okay. So we're up to Tzadik Lamed Aleph on the top line. So the Gemara goes weiter in this discussion. Machlekes, basically, Machlekes, Rav Chisda And Rabbah, we know Yeshkach Lakar, B'Shevi Altase, they have the ability, to, the rabbis have the authority to tell us not to blow shofar, not to put on tzitzis on the Begad Shel Pishne, not to do a mitzvah. Do they even have the authority? Shouldn't be. They have the authority to tell us to violate an Avera. That's what we say, that the conservative rabbis are more authority than the Orthodox. The conservative rabbis can allow the Balabatim to drive to the synagogue on Shabbos. The Reform rabbis can allow the Balabatim to eat chafis, whatever they want. But Orthodox rabbis do not have that much authority. They can't. They don't have no authority to be oikadol v'natar v'kum v'yaseh. The Gemara says, Toshma. What's the din? Truma may only be eaten by Kohanim. A non-Kohen who eats Truma is an Avera of Misa B'dei Shamayim. Yeah, here there's a difficult Rashi that on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Tzala Ransburg has a whole comment. The Gemara says in Chulin that if the Kohen eats, if the Kohen is Tomei and he eats Truma Tahira, then he's punished with the Mezid, then he's punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. What if the Kohen is Tohar and he eats Truma Tameya? So that's an Iser Aseh. There isn't even a lav on that. That's an Iser Aseh. What if the coin is Tameh and the Truma is Tameh? A coin Tameh eats Truma Tameh. So is that Misa B'dei Shamayim? So Rashi over here sounds like he says yes. If the coin Tameh eats Truma, there's Misa B'dei Shamayim, whether the Truma is Tahira or the Truma is Tameh. So that's a problem that Rav Tzal Ransburg raises, and then he says he found in a few Svarim that they all raise the issue on Rashi. Rashi wrote here against the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says in Chulin that the pasuk says if a kohen tomei eats truma tameya, there's no misa b'dei shamayim, because the pasuk says umesu bo ki chaluluhu. If the kohen tomei eats truma, he's mechalal the truma. He violated the mitzvah of the truma. Then that's Misa B'dei Shamayim. Prat Luzush and Mechulalus V'Amedes. If the Truma was Tamei anyway, so then he wasn't Mechalalit. It's already Mechulal V'Yomed. You're not allowed to, no one's allowed to eat it. So the Gemara seems to say that there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim in that case. If a kind Tamei eats Truma Tameya, there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim. So he has to Kashan Rashi. So he quotes the answer. There are two understandings of that din. What does that drasha mean? If the Kohen Tomei eats Truma Tameya, there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim, why not? So the Gemara in Chulin, the simple reading Gemara in Chulin says, it's based on Ein Isa Chal Al Isa. It depends who became Tomei first. If the Truma became Tomei first, let's say I'm a Kohen. I'm not a Kohen, let's say I would be a Kohen. So I'm allowed to eat Truma. But if the Truma became Tomei first, then it's an Isa Rasei. I'm not allowed to eat it. Then if I become Nitma, now you want to say that there's an Isa Lav with Misa B'dei Shamayim. If a Kohen Tomei eats Truma, so we say, Ein Isa Chalal Isa. I was already prohibited to eat the Truma yesterday when the Truma became Nitmes. It was an Isa Rase, and Ein Isa Chalal Isa. That's what it says in the Gemara. And this is the Makar of the Din, the Rishonim all this. Where is the Makar? How did the Gemara know this Einfall, that Ein Isa Chalal Isa? Where does it say? The Gemara has machlekes and about details. What's a din? Is a kol? Is a moisif? What are the details of Ein Isa Chalal Isa? Where did they get the whole idea from? From thin air. So that's what some of the Rishonim say. No, this is the mocker for the din of Ein Isa Chalal Isa. If this is the reason and this is the mocker, then what you're saying is a chiddush. Ein Isa Chalal Isa applies even though the first Isa was only an Isa essay, even though the first Isa was not an Isa lav. And that's a question in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that it's not so. Ein Isa Chalal Isa is only if the first Isa carried with it an Isa Lav. But if the here, Truma Shenitmeis only has an Isa Rese against eating. And then when the Kohen becomes Tameh, then it's an Isa Lav. So you're saying Ein Isa Chalal Isa even applies if the first Isa was only an Isa Rese. And then the other Gemara presents it. The Rambam doesn't paskin like that. The Rambam quotes the din, a Kohen Tameh, Sheochal Truma Tameya. There's no Misa B'dei Shamayim. It doesn't qualify. It doesn't say it depends whether the Truma became Tomei first or I became Tomei first. The Rambam sounds like he's saying, Al Pi Pashtus, even if I became Tomei before the Truma became Tomei. So it's not a din event. It's not because of Ein Isa Chalal Isa. The first Isa that was Chal was because I'm Tomei. So there should be Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the answer is no. It's a miut. Meisa bo ki yichalu prat mizu shem b'choledos v'amed. It's a kain tom yishachal truma. Is misa b'day shemayim only if the truma is tahor. If the truma is tamei, it's already b'cholad yamin. Does not a hub, you can't tell me first. The kain of that. So that's why Rashi is probably going with the simple reading of the Gemara in Chulin. And the end of Kol Abasa, the Gemara talks a lot about Ein Yisrael Chalalisa. What's it then if you cook Nevela flesh with milk? The Nevela is treif anyway, so you cook Nevela with milk. Maybe you should say Ein Yisrael. The Gemara says you say Ein Yisrael Chalalisa. That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of the dog food that they sell in New York, they sell flesh. It's Nevela meat and it's cooked with milk. So if you say Ein Yisrael Chalalisa, so the Issa Basa B'cholav is not Chal at all. But if you would say the Issa Basa B'cholav would be Chal on top of the Issa Nevela, then you wouldn't be allowed to feed it to your dog, because Basa B'cholav is also Ba'ano. So the Rabbi Yehuda has her Oris on the side of the page in the big Yeridei, that's called Dogan Marvava. So he claims, based on a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that the Kud and the Flaw increases. The Rambam wrote his commentary on Mishnah in Arabic, and we use, those of us who don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So the way they translated it, the Lashon of the way they translated the Rambam into Hebrew, he writes, V'eish binyan hazen, and the kud and the flaw. There's a very fascinating point that we're going to bring out over here. The Rambam, in the translation of the Pirush HaMishnah, that expression appears in a few places. So this is one of them. This is the Rambam's Nekuda Niflaa, that he says that he raises a question: why, if you cook nevela with milk, why do you say enisa chalalisa? Nevela is only asa b'achila, but it's muta b'anoa. Once you're going to cook it with milk, it's going to become asa b'anoa. So that's isa chalal heta. It wasn't asa b'anoa before. So why do you say that the Issa Basa B'cholav is not Chal? The Gemara says the Issa Basa B'cholav is not Chal. Why is the Issa not Chal? It wasn't Asa Banor before. Now it does become Asa Banor. And the Mishnah Krisa says, if I have an animal that's a Trefa, and then I magdish it to Hegdish, so the Issa Hegdish is Chal, because Trefa is only Asa B'achila. But it's Mutta B'hanor. And then when I make it Hegdish, now it's Asa B'hanor. So you see the Hanor on top of Achila. Is Issa Chalal Heta? It's not called Ein Issa Chalal Issa. So why did the Gemara say, the Rambam asked, why did the Gemara say that if you cook Basa B'cholav Ein Issa Chalal Issa? So the Rambam says, he has this Nekuda Niflaa, this fascinating point. He says that Basa B'cholav has to start off as Macholas Asuras. If the Issa Achila is not Chal, then the Issa Hanor can't be Chal either. And the Gabi, the Issa Achila, if the thing is already Nevela, the thing is already nevela to begin with, it's already asa b'achila, so when you cook the nevela with milk, the isa b'achila of basa b'chala is not chal. And if it doesn't start off as an isa b'achila's basa b'chala, you can't have an isa hanor. That's what the Rambam says. So the Dogon Levavah, the Nadi Behuda, there's commentary on the side of the page in the big Yerideya, the Nadi Behuda understood the Rambam to say that if you take nevela flesh and you cook it with milk, it's muta b'hanor. So that's what some assume. And others say, the Pima Godim, and most of the Achranim say, that the Nadi Bihuni misunderstood the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ein Issa Chal Al Issa, the Basa B'cholav is not Chal on top of the Nevela, for Malkus purposes. But the Issa is Chal. It will be Asa B'anoa. You won't get Malkus. You'll only get Malkus Mishum Nevela. You won't get that Tzveta more Malkus because of Basa B'cholav. Ein Issa Chal Al Issa is only vis-a-vis Onesh. Vis-a-vis, there's no Misa for the second Aveh, there's no Misa B'dei Shemaim, there's no Kares. But the Yisa will be Chal, so it will be Asabana. So that's all of those who have dogs have to beware. You can't buy regular dog food that they sell in the store because it's Basa B'chol of their Isa, it's Asabana. If it would only be chicken cooked with milk, that would only be Basa B'chol Drabban. So Basa B'chol Drabban is only Asabachila. It's Mutta B'bishon and it's Mutta B'ano. But if you have Nevela flesh, real flesh that they cooked in milk. That's Basa B'cholav there. I say, have all the three prohibitions. Also the Bishop, also B'achila, also B'ano. And even though it's Nevela, so you won't get Malkus, mitam Basa B'cholav, but it's still also B'achila, also B'ano. Yeah, so Nachma. So the din is that a non-Kayin Azar is not allowed to eat truma. Just like a kohen tam is not allowed to eat truma, So a zar, a non-kohen, is not allowed to eat truma either. What's a din if a zar eats truma b'mezid? So there's misa b'dei shamayim. What if the zar eats truma b'shoigeg? So the Torah says, v'nasan l'kohen es ha-kodesh. Rashi quotes it on the top line, v'yikar chav beis. The din is, let's say I drank, I have a bottle of wine, and it's truma wine. I thought it's regular, normal wine. I didn't read all the letters on the bottle. It said this, everything in the bottle is truma. So I drank truma b'shoikig, and I'm not a kohen. So if I would drink truma b'mezid b'chayim nisa b'day shemayim, I violated b'shoikig, so I need a kapara. So just like if a person, let's say, it's mechal Shabbos b'shoikig, he eats chayla b'dam b'shoikig, he eats chametz b'pesach, he eats on Yom Kippur by mistake b'shoikig. So if a person violates an aver b'shoikig, which the aver is so chum, if he would have done it b'mezid, he would have been chayt kareis. So if he violated b'shoikig, he chayt to bring a chatos. So the Gemara makes a tushtel. Similarly over here, the zar shachal truma b'mezid is misa b'dei shamayim. So zar shachal truma b'shoigeg needs a kapara. How does he get the kapara? By giving kerem b'chaymash. So what does mean kerem b'chaymash? So let's say the bottle of, I drank a whole bottle of wine, that's truma. So I have to take a bottle of wine, which is chulin, and then add on chaymash doesn't mean 20%. Chaimish means 25%. That's how the Gemara says. Chaimish means after I give the keren v'chomish, so the chomish will be 1/5 of the whole thing. So we would say 1/4. And the chomish calls that 1/5. A different way of speaking, but it's the same thing. Whenever it says chomish and the chomish, it means 25%, means 1/4. So you're not supposed to make out a check for this amount of money. You have to, nasan l'kainas ha-kodesh davar ha-roili es kodesh, Rashi quotes. You have to give, if you drank wine by mistake, you have to give wine of chulin to the kohen, a bottle and 1/4, and when you give it to the kohen, it becomes truma. Tashlumen depachim liyos truma, and if anyone, a zar will by mistake drink that wine, he'll be chayiv kerem b'chaymash. If he'll do it b'meiz, it'll be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. If he'll drink it b'shogeg, he'll be chayiv kerem b'chaymash, because tashlumen depachim, when you give it to the kohen, and you just set it aside, not yet. When you give it to the kohen, the nasan la kohen es hakodesh. When you do the nesina, then tashlum in the pachim liyos kodesh. So the brisa is discussing over here the din. Achal truma tameyon azar by mistake ate truma b'shoigig. He has to give kerem b'chaymash. What if he ate truma tameyon? Truma tameyon. What can you do with truma tameyon? You're not allowed to eat it. What are you supposed to do with truma tameyah? So the Gemara says you can burn it, and you're permitted, the kohen is permitted lahasika tachas tavshila. He's permitted, let's say if it's shemen shel truma, that's tameh, so you can use it as fuel to burn as a lamp, put in a wick, and use it as fuel. Once he's using it, so then the Gemara has a lot of ner lecha ner lemeyah. So if a kohen is using it, so then the non-kohen can also read the aran there. You're not allowed to take truma, get hanor shel kilui. Truma is muta banor. Let's say there's a sack of truma, and I have nowhere to sit. I don't want to sit on the floor. There are no chairs. No chairs in the room. So there's nowhere to sit. So there's a sack of truma. So I want to sit on the sack of truma. I'm getting hanor from the truma, sitting on it. But that's okay. Truma is muta banor. It's only also banor shel kilui. Let's say I'll take truma and I'll feed it to a behema. So that's hanor shel kilui. The truma is getting consumed. Shaloi kidin. I'm feeding it to a behema that, if you feed it to a behema that belongs to a kohen, that's a different story. That's kohen kik nefesh kinyan kaspo. If the kohen buys a behema, so he can feed the truma to behema's kohen. But if a non kohen, the farmer is nishkin kohen, the farmer's going to feed the truma to his own behema, so not only is he in violation of gezel, he's supposed to give the matnas kuna to the kohanim. He's in violation of the Iser Hanor Shal Kilui on the Chuma. You're not allowed to have the Chuma consumed, Shaloike Mitzvasa. So if the Kohen is going to, let's say it's Shemen Shal Chuma, the Kohen is going to use it to put a wick in, to illuminate the backyard, or the alleyway, or in the house. In the days of the time, they didn't have electric lights in the house. So they're going to have a candle at night, and they're going to use the Shemen Shal Chuma to light. So once the kohen is getting hanor, so the zar is also allowed to get hanor. That's not called hanor shel kilui. Truma is mutar banor. It's only called hanor shel kilui. If you're the only one who's using it, you're not a kohen. So that's hanor shel kilui. But if a kohen is using it, then it's okay. So nachamal, so ochal truma tameyah. If a zar ate Truma Tameyam. So you're supposed to give, he's supposed to give Karen B'chomash, if you ate it B'shogeg. So it says, Mishalem Chulin Tahirim. He should set aside Chulin, let's say you drank wine, you give wine, you ate cookies, so you set aside the same, the cookies were wheat, so set aside wheat, the cookies were made from barley, so set aside barley. Whatever it was, the type of food that you ate by mistake, is non-koyin, ate truma b'shogeg, so you should set aside the same kind of food for the tashlumin. What if shilin chulim tameim? What if by mistake, the zar she'ochal truma b'shogeg takes a bottle of wine that's tamei already, and then he's going to give it to the koyin tashlumin that pachim liyos truma, so it's going to turn into truma. So you just created truma tameim. So that's, you're not allowed to be metamei truma. And over here, he created Truma Tameya. So Simchas was a student of Rav Meir. Simchas is a Tana, a Talmud of Rav Meir. Simchas, I'm a Mishum Rav Meir, he quotes in the name of his Rebbe Rav Meir, that it depends, B'shogeg, if he didn't realize, we're not talking about how he ate it. He ate the Truma B'shogeg. It's talking about, Tosis points out over here, Dibamascha B'shogeg. It doesn't go whether he ate the Truma B'shogeg, he ate the Truma B'shogeg. We're talking, he ate the Truma B'shogeg. He made a mistake. We're talking now, did he realize that he's doing wrong? That by setting aside a bottle of Tomei Dika wine, the wine was Tomei anyway. Did he realize that that's not right? So if he did it, B'shogeg, he wasn't thinking, he forgot that Tashlum and Epochem Lias Truma, so he's creating Truma Tomei, which the Kohen can't use. The Kohen can't use it at all. So if he did it, B'shogeg, said that he had it Farfan, Tashlum or Tashlum. It's good. Why is it good? Because we learned before, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, here, Rabbi Loi, is on the Peites on the base, 5 lines from the top. The command quoted Rabbi Loi says, "Banana turn and arol ayofe she trumasa truma." The chatchili is supposed to be mafish truma min hayofe, because the chumash says, "Barim chemes chelba mimeno." Chelba means the muvchar. Should always, if you have a lot of bushels of food, you have a lot of watermelons, and you have to be mafish truma, so you shouldn't be mafish from the inferior quality. You should always be turma min hayofe. But b'riyevet, if you're turim in aros, so b'riyevet trumasa truma, the truma will be chal. So if you're mafish min atomei ala tohor, that's also b'riyevet, it'll be chal. L'chatchila, it's not right, because min amuvcha would be to be mafish chulin, that's going to be tohor, so it'll convert to become truma tohor. But if you're mafish chulin, that's tomei and tashlum, and that pachum liyos truma, so b'riyevet, it will be good. So he says, Simcha's quotes in the name of Rav Meir, we only that's a question we mentioned in Perek HaNizok, and there's a whole discussion. Whenever we penalize someone because he did something wrong, what's an example? He planted a tree in Shemitah. He did malocha on Chol HaMoed. Or what else? Emavat l'nisa l'chatchila. He mixed in little treifas into the pot and you have shishin. So if he knew that a wise guy, he mixes in b'mezid, so we say, we penalize you, you're not allowed to eat it. But if he only mixed it in b'shogeg, so why should we penalize him? Gemara has the discussion in about 15 different cases, and there are more cases that the Gemara doesn't discuss. Whenever the Chachamim want to penalize a person because he did something wrong, they say they only penalize them if he did it wrong b'mezid, but if he did it b'shogeg, there's no penalty. And they say, no, konsu shogeg out to mezid is going to make it look like an accident. It's really b'mezid, but he's putting on an act. The next believe that it's b'shogeg. So maybe we should say konsu shogeg out to mezid. On Shabbos also, it's machlokes Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. If a person is mevashel b'Shabbos, he cooked some food on Shabbos, he didn't realize that you're not allowed to cook food. He thought the food was cooked already, whatever. He didn't realize that it's an aver. So do you say that you're not allowed to eat it until after Shabbos is up? Maybe you're not allowed to eat it, Ilamas also. So do you say there's only a penalty, a mevashel b'Shabbos b'mezid, but if it's mevashel b'shogeg, there's no penalty. Lo konsum shogot b'mezid. They say no. That's the long sugi here. It says, Git nun dalet. Gemara gives case after case after case. Different cases. Gemara has one of the many cases Gemara has. You're not allowed to marry Muveris Chavera, Menekes Chavera. A woman was married to someone else, and the husband either divorced or the husband died, and she's nursing a baby, or she's pregnant with the baby from the first husband. So no one else is allowed to marry the woman. So let's say she's an Almana. The first husband died, she's an Almana, and a Kayan marries her. He didn't know you're not allowed to marry Muveris Chaver Menekes Chaver. Koyin marries her. So if anybody else marries her, so we say with penalty, you got to get divorced. get divorced, so you wait till the baby will be 2 years old after she finished nursing the baby. The maximum that the normal person ever nurses a baby, Bisman HaGemara, was 2 years. Today, no, even Bisman HaGemara, no, most people didn't nurse a baby for 2 years. Most of the people didn't nurse it for more than 18 months. But they made a chumra because it may be a sakana for the baby. If she's going to remarry, so maybe a sakana for the baby. The second husband is not the father of the baby, so he may not be careful enough with the child, so the child may get sick. He may not have enough nutrition. So they made an issa. No one else is allowed to marry her. So what if I married her b'shogeg? I didn't realize that I'm a violation of a din. So they penalize me. What if I'm a kohen? So if I'll divorce her, I won't be able to remarry her. So Gemara has a whole discussion there. Shulchan Aruch has a whole discussion. So you say Kansu Shogot amazing. What if he didn't realize that he's doing anything wrong? Very wide, a lot of cases. Mabashal b'Shabbos, Malocha b'Chalamoy. He plants in Shemitah. Emavat Nisal Chatchila. He marries a girl he's not supposed to marry. Many different cases. Or mitame medame menasech. So the hezek shein aniker. So it's only chayiv midirabbanan. So is it only the Mishnah says you only pay b'shoigig if you did it b'shoigig mitame medame menasech did it b'shoigig lo konsum shogun amazed. He doesn't have to pay. Or the mazik usually is chayiv bei m'shoigig bei m'mezik. But if he makes a hezek shein aniker, so that's only chayiv midirabbanan. So lo konsum shogun amazed. He only has to pay if he was mazik. If he did the metamim damim menasech, if he did it amazing, did it b'shogeg not? So that's going to be the machlokes over here. So what happens if the fellow was mafrish chulim tmeim? More correct is he's mafrish chulim tahor. But if shilim chulim tmeim, if he's mafrish, tomidik a bottle of wine, he wasn't thinking. After you give it to the kohen, it's going to nepachim liyastrum, it's going to be chulim tmeim, it'll be worthless. Kohen won't be able to drink it. So what's the din? So simcha sayma m'shem rameyer b'shogeg tashlum of tashlumim. We don't penalize shogot amazed, but amazed we have a penalty. Ain tashlum of tashlum. Ben ator the din is in tashlum and are a good tashlum. Even if you're mafish men atomi ala tohar, b'diyeved it's chal and it's mata the yisa tebel from the rest of the food. So the statement that b'mezid we penalize him ain tashlum of tashlum, the tashlumen is not chal at all. That's only midirabbanan. Minatur it is truma, and the zara is not allowed to eat it. Midirabbanan is saying it's not true, but the zara is allowed to eat it. V'chachamim ma'am, mechadzeh, tashlum of tashlumen. V'yevid et hafrosh yischal, v'choyz mishal em chulin turim. V'avinim bo, we ask the kasha regarding this price. What does Rav Meir mean? Simchas oimem mishum Rav Meir. That b'shoigeg you don't penalize, but b'mezid ain't tashlum of tashlum. The Havina, what we asked Akasha, Havaya is Akasha, we asked Akasha, Rav Meir said, b'mezid ain't tashlum of tashlum, and what's wrong? What did he do that's wrong? Tov al bracha. What are we so upset about? The Och menei midi de look and chazil ad meita masa. What did he do? Azar she'och al truma temeya. A bottle of truma, a bottle of wine that's truma, and it's truma temeya. Truma temeya is worthless. The kohen is not allowed to eat it. So by mistake, the Tzar knows he has to give Kerem B'chamish. He sets aside a bottle and a quarter of wine. Kerem B'chamish. A bottle and a quarter of wine that's tummy. But it's chulin dika wine. Chulin dika wine that's tummy is worth a lot of money. What's so bad? Truma dika wine that's tummy, you can't even eat it be made to masa. Look, you can't use it for anything. Lasika tachas tavshila. If it's something that you can use as fuel to burn, the kohen can use it. But if you have chulin tameyim, it's worth a lot of money. So the Gemara asks, why are we penalizing the fellow over here? Tov ala bracha, he's mafresh chulin tameyim. What's so bad? Och menemidi delekar chazalet meitamasai. The Tzar ate truma tameya, which is worthless for the kohen. It's absolutely worthless. He's not allowed to eat it, even when he's tamei. And the fellow is giving him the kamshan meat at the chazalet, and the fellow is giving him chulin. Tameim. Chulin Tameim is a value. So Rashi in the Tosis points out, no, but the minute he's going to give it to the Kayin, Tashlum and Epach Mlias Truma, so then it's going to be worthless again. So what does the Gemara say? Tovu Ola Bracha. What are they so happy about? They say, why did he penalize him? He did something very nice. He didn't do anything nice. When he gives the Chulin to Hurim, when he gives the Chulin Tameim to the Kayin, the minute he gives it, V'nasan La Kayin Es HaKodesh, Dabah Harai Lias Kodesh and Tashlam and Epachim Lias Kodesh. So it's right going to be Truma Temeya. So that's what Rashi and Tyson say, but he didn't realize that. He didn't realize all the dinim. So his intention was L'shem Shamayim. His kavanas were Niskaven Hu L'Tashlam Hagunim, Rashi says. He thought he's doing the Kayin Ataiva. So the Gemara says, what are you penalizing the guy over here? He had good intentions. The Omar Rabbi, so Rabbi explained, Vamri Lakidi, by the time the Gemara was written down, so they're not sure. Not sure who said this. So some say that one version had it, that Rabbi said it, and another version had it, that they said it without any name. In the Beis Medrash, everybody said, Pshat is Chisur Mechsara, V'achi Katani. There's a little bit missing in this Brisa. It should be like this, Ochal Truma Temeya, if the Tzar ate Truma Temeya, Mishalim Kodahu, he can give back Chulim Temeyim, and the Chulim will turn into Truma Temeya. Chulim Temeya will become, when he gives it to the Kohen, become, that's what he drank. He drank Truma Temeya, which is worthless, and he's going to give him Truma Temeya, which will be worthless. Okay. But Ochal Truma Tehoira, what if by mistake the Tzar ate Truma Tehoira, that's worth a lot of money, so then Mishalim Chulim Tehoira, he should give Chulim Tehoira to the Kohen, and Tashlum and Epachim Lias Truma, fine. What if Shilim Chulim Temeim? He drank Truma Tehoira, Vishoigeg. If he would have had it, Bemezid, he would have been Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. Azar Shachal Truma is Misa B'dei Shemayim. But he drank Truma Tehoira, and he should really give Chulim Tehoirim. So by mistake, he didn't realize what he's doing. Ochel Truma Tehoira, what's the din? Shilem Chulim Temeim, by mistake. He gave Chulim Temeim. So Simcha says, name Rab Meir, it depends. If he did it by mistake, B'shogeg, Tashlum, Tashlum, why is Tashlum, Tashlum? That's like we had the din before. That if you're mafrish ben atomi ala tohar, b'diyevet etzchal, even though the Truma Temeya is worthless. But b'diyevet etzchal, mafrish ben aru ala yofe. What?
He doesn't get any benefit.
The same thing, let's say I have 50 watermelons and I have to give 1/50th 2% as truma. So I take the watermelon that's very inferior quality. Okay, so that's ben aru ala yofe. But the Gemara said before, even if you torim min atome ala tohar, it's also called ben aru ala yofe, na hafrosh eschal. So the Gemara says over here also, if you ate truma tohoira by mistake, zah shachal truma tohoira. So if you're going to give chulim tmeim, that's going to be Tashlum and Epachim Lias Truma has no value at all, but B'dievet it'll be chal. The Gemara says, B'dievet it'll be chal. So Sumcha is close to the name Rab Meir. If you did it, B'shoigeg, so you leave it like that. If you did it, B'mezid, we penalize it. If you did it, B'mezid, ain't Tashlum and Tashlum. B'chachamim Arimim, no, we make the penalty, B'mezid, B'mezid, Tashlum and Tashlum. It is a good Tashlum. However, B'chazim Mishalim Chulun Torah. So the Gemara is asking now on Rab Meir. Simcha's quotes in the name of Rab Meir that if he did it, Bemezid, Min HaTorah, it is Chal. Min HaTorah, Tashlumin is good, like the din of Torah Min HaRoh Ala Yofe. So the same over here. So the Gemara asks, so Min HaTorah, when he gives it the Chulim Temeim, and it turns into Truma Temeya, Min HaTorah, it is Truma Temeya. And with the Rabbanah, we say, Ain Tashlum HaTashlumin. How can it? Ain't Tashlum Tashlum. And a non-Kohen is allowed to eat it, because it never became Truma. But on the level of the rice, it did become Truma. So that's Rav Chizda's proof. Rav Chizda's proofing that Yesh Kach Ve'achachamim Lakadot Menatar Bekum Ve'aseh. That's what he's asking.
How did it become Truma?
By mistake, I'm a Zar. I'm a non-Kohen. And I ate Truma Tehoira. So if I would have eaten it, b'mezid it would have b'chad misa b'dei shemayim. So I ate it b'shoigeg, so I need a kapar. How do you get the kapar? So you have to give 1 1/4 times that. So if I drank a whole bottle of truma tehoira, I have to give a bottle of a quarter, a bottle and a quarter of chulim tehoirin, and tashlum and epachim liyas kodesh. So when I give it to the kohen, it becomes truma.
What if it becomes truma
law when the Kohen receives it, not when he creates it.
Right, not when he's mafresh it, when he gives it to the Kohen, it becomes.
I would just say like it's a nefach tov.
It should have been, but we learned that from the pasuk. That's on the top of Pei Tesan base. A Torah min ha-ro al ha-yofeh, the truma is chas. And not only ro al ha-yofeh means inferior quality, if one is tamei, one is tahar, it's also good.
But there he has the koach himself to make it into truma to begin with.
Right.
If he doesn't have that koach, it only becomes truma once the Kohen accepts it. But the Kohen says, oh, you didn't tell me it's tamei. I wouldn't accept it.
It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. Got to work on that. I don't know. So that's what the Gemara argues over here. The Gemara thinks when you give it, tashlum and tashlum, and atarvet the tashlum is good. And Reb Meir makes a penalty. He says if you did it, if the wise guy did it, the mezid, to stick the kain with chul and tameim, that's going to convert to become truma tameya, and he's mafsid the kain, so we penalize him. We say, ain't tashlum, tashlum. The tashlum is not chal. Tashlum is not chal. He has to give something else. He has to give chul and tameim. And the first one that he gave, that was Tomei, a Zar can eat it. How can a Zar eat it? But Minatara, it was Tashlumin. Because a Tormen or Eloyofa is good. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. V'ha-hocha, the line begins with the words, V'ha-hocha, in this case, the Midir Raisa Tashlumin, Ma'al Yahav Minatara, it's a good Tashlumin. And he gave it to the Kohen. And it belongs to the Kohen. And if the Kohen would take this Truma Tomei and be Mekadosh and Isha with it, the kedushin would be chal. In the kaddish b'hu koyin isha, tapsi lo kedushin. The kedushin would be chal. Come Rab Meir, Simchas quotes the name of the Omer Rabbanan. The rabbis come along. Rab Meir comes along and introduces a penalty. He says, "Ain tashlum tashlum." The czar gave it to the koyin. We say the koyin has to give it back. It's not chal the din of truma. Menatora was chal truma, but the rabban is not chal. What do you mean it's not chal? It doesn't belong to the Kohen. And if he used it to be Mekadosh and Isha, we'll say the woman is not married. She's not an Eishes Ish. Because Sharina, we allow Eishes Ish Li'alma. So don't you say, Yesh Keach V'Yachachamim, that's Rabbi Chizda's argument. Don't you see from that, Brisa, Yesh Keach V'Yachachamim, Lakadav Menatera, even Mikum V'Yaseh.
Yeah, but what they're doing is that they're making a back table. By the Torah says it's good now, so it's not table, the leftover food. And now if the Rabbunim are oiked that he didn't, that means he didn't give truma, so that means it's back
table. Table, that was before we were talking about the fellow was Tarmen ha-tomei ala tohar. So Rav Chizda learned over there also. If he's Tarmen ha-tomei ala tohar, they penalize them. And it's not chal at all. He was talking a different case. The zar ate truma b'shegeg. So he has to give chulin, and when he gives the 1 1/4 times as much as he ate, he has to give a bottle and a quarter of a bottle. And when he gives it to the kohen, the moment he gives it to the kohen, then the chulin that he gave becomes truma. So the Gemara says, ben atar it's chal. It's like, not exactly, it's like mafrish ben atomi al atar. He's giving this tomei dika truma, to replace the Torah dikachuma that he ate. It's not
so
the same.
So the Kohen say, no, it's not.
So they said, Midrabbanan is not chal. And
so
even though the Kohen thought that it belonged to him. So the Kohen went and he was Mekadosh and Isha with it. It's from the 24 Matnas Kuna that you give truma to the Kohen, you give Tashlumi truma to a Kohen. So the Kohen thought it was his. And then when we realized later on that it's truma Temeya, and he did it the Mezid, the wise guy, the Zad, did it the Mezid. So we make a pound and we say, ain't tashlum and tashlum, and the Kohen has to give it back. It doesn't belong to him, it wasn't chal, and nothing. And you got to start all over again. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it wasn't chal? But at Menatara it was chal. And if he would have been Mekadosh and Isha, she would be Mukodeshes Menatara. Now you're saying that the Rabbanim, we make a penalty, and it comes out sometimes the penalty is a chum medasa de kula.
How could she be Mekadosh if it's Asur Banah? The truma has, I'm not sure about no, but it has basically no value.
Yeah.
You're saying that the value that you can burn it is Shavuot?
Has something, yeah. It's only talking about a case, and Shavuot, yeah. Otherwise, it won't be Shavuot Puta. It's no good for Kiddush.
Like,
that
just
is
like
correct.
We said before, Hefker based in Hefker.
Yeah.
Why don't you say, God, Mekadosh, that's Rabban Mekadosh? So what's the problem?
Okay. That's a possible answer. In rare cases, we apply that. The Gemara doesn't say it over here. So the Gemara doesn't answer that. It's a good question. I think the Tosfos asked that. Why don't you say, Afkira Abana Kedusha Minei? I don't remember. I think Tosfos asked that. Why don't you just say, Afkira Abana Kedusha Minei? Okay. But we rarely apply that klal. Hefka Bez Nefka we use much more often. So the Gemara asked the question, doesn't that brisa, doesn't that din, the way we knock sense into the din, doesn't it indicate that yesh kach be'achachamim even lakadot menatar b'kum b'yaseh? So the Gemara answers, no. When Rab Meir was quoted as saying, ein tashlum et tashlum et kam Rab Meir, it doesn't mean that the kohen has to give it back, that it wasn't chal de din ha'truma. It was chal de din ha'truma, but yachse v'yitrum. He has to be mafrish again a second time. And for the Gemara, what did he mean by his statement? You have to pay again a second time. The first tashlumin is nepach lias truma, but you have to give again. Gemara says, but that's what the Chachamim said. So then it's the same. The Chachamim disagree with Sumchas B'Shem Rav Meir. It says, the Chachamim said, Beim Shegig Beim Meizim Tashlum V'Tashlumin, V'Choyzim Mishalim Chulin Torim. So according to what you're saying, Pshat and Rav Meir, so there's no machlokes, Rav Meir and Chacham, they both said the same thing. Frag the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's what Sumchas meant, Sumchas Hayna Rabbanim. And the Braisa presents it that it's a machlokes. And for the Gemara, no. The difference is Kansu Shogat Amezid, Ikat Menai. That's the difference. Sumchas held they only made this penalty Yachsa the Itrum, the Tashlumin, it's Tashlumin. Yachsa the Itrum is only if it did it the Mezid. If it did it the Shogig, there's no penalty. And a Chachamim Marm, Beim Shogig, Beim Mezid, you have this penalty. Tashlumin, Tashlumin, the Yachsa the Itrum. You have to Bechayza Mishalim again. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda thought he has a right in this Braisa to prove his point that yesh kach ve'achachamim even lakadam atar bekum v'yasei that min atar this stuff is truma and a zar is not allowed to eat it and min derabanan it's not truma, the kohen has to give it back, it's not truma. So now the Gemara is going to ask another kash, going to go back to another kash. Okay, maybe before we go to the other kash, maybe I'll just mention here there's a tesis, there's a tesis de maschal avol truma tamei mishalom. Thank you. The Tosfos here has a fascinating topic. We are familiar with the Gemaras and different Mesichtas and Ksubas and Bava Kamma and another Mesichta. And what talks about Momen and Knas. Let's say a Ganav who stole something has to pay Keren V'Kefal. He stole $100, he has to give back $100. But if he did it the Gneva, not only does he have to get back $100, he has to get back an additional $100. So the Keren, the $100 that he pays is Mammon, and the extra $100 that he pays is Knas. What's the difference, Allah HaLamayisah, between Mammon and Knas? So everybody knows it didn't have Modi B'Knas is Potter. That's a Mishnah in Ksubas. Modi B'Knas is Potter. Modi B'Mammon is Hordaos Baldin Kimei Enim Dami. If you admit that you stole money and you owe $100, you got to pay. But he's moida b'knas. He says, I did it b'gneva. Not only am I chayv keren $100, I have to give an extra $100. So moida b'knas is potter. So and there are a few other differences also. The difference between mammon and knas. So Tosfos here comes up with the third category. There's mammon, there's knas, then there's a third category of tashlumin that we call kapara. It's not mammon, it's not knas, it's a third category. What do you gain by saying it's a third category? You give it a different label. Unlike both Mammon and Knas, sometimes things are kapara. What is Knas? How many things in Parshas Mishpatim? You have all the dinim of payments. How many tashlumas are Knas? So Kefil is Knas. Dalad Vehei. If a Ganav steals Shorvaseh, Tavach HaMachah, so Dalad Vehei is Knas. Onis HaMefatim, Oitzi Shemra, Shloshim Shalevet, if you show Amud. Kills an Evid Knaini, so the Baal HaShor pays Shlosh Mishlevet. It's a fixed amount of money. The Evid is not, that doesn't correspond to the value of the Evid. All the Avodim are worth Shlosh Mishlevet. All the Avodim are either worth more or less, but they're not going to be worth Shlosh Mishlevet. So Shlosh Mishlevet, whenever it's a fixed amount of money, like Shlosh Mishlevet, so then it's Knaini. So Mefata, 50 Shkolim. But Hashem is 100 Shkolim. So that's always going to be Knas. So, what is kapara? Where do you have a case of kapara? So the Gemara says, koifer. When the Shoamud kills the Ben Chorin, so the Baal HaShor has to pay koifer. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't think that kufra mamayna, kufra kapara. Then Kofer is Kapar. So Tosfos asks him, Baba Kama, not Gimel, Daf Mem Gimel, what do you gain by declaring that it's Kapar? Apparently there are different dinim. It's not like Mammon, it's not like Knas, it's a third category of Kapar. What's an Afkamina? And then Tosfos claims that there's a Gemara only said there's one Tashlum, and that's Kapara, Kofer, Kufra Kapar. When the Sharmud kills a Ben Chor and the Balashar pays Kofer, that's Kapar. Tosfos has over here, Tosfos has it in Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph. You see the last line in the Tosfos. It says Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph on the base of Visham. What does the word Visham mean? It means on that Daf, there's a Tosfos that discusses the same topic. Here it says in the middle of the Tosfos, the Perikol Shah. Psachim alim beis amir alef isham means on that daf, there's a thesis that discusses the same topic. The boys in the yeshiva know whenever it says amar amokim and it says visham, you got to look up that daf because there's a long, sometimes a longer thesis that explains it better. So in ksubas lamed alef, it's much longer thesis. So they give six nafkeminas ledina, at least six. There's six differences halacha lemaisa between kapara as opposed to mamin knas. So one nafkemina thesis has is that there's no mechila. Let's say my Shah Mod killed an Adam and he's dead and I have to pay Kofer to the Yoshim. The Yoshim are multimillionaires. They say, we don't need your Kapara. You're a poor person. You can keep the money. We don't need it. So Tosfos claims they prove from a Mishnah and Trumas. They say here what the whole Raya is. They prove from a Mishnah that they have no right to be Moichel. Kapara is Ben Olam Lamokam. I have to lake Tvillin. So there's no one to Balabas to be Moichel and Anochas Tvillin. So if my Shor Amud kills an Adam, the Yoshim are not the Balabatim to be Moichel. It's a Chiyah ben Adam Lamokim. I have to get a Kapur. It's not going to help if they're going to be Moichel. If I yom Mamun HaKnas, the person is a Moichel. Mamun HaKnas, a Chiyah ben Adam Lachaveir. So it lends itself to Mechilah. Then Tais has another Nafkamina Komle b'dirab Mine. If a person is Chayiv Misa simultaneously with the Chiyah Mamun, so it knocks off the Chiyah Mamun, you don't get the Chiyah Mamun, whether the Mamun is Mamun HaKnas. But if it's Kapurah, so Tosfos has rayas that you don't say kam lebe derab mine. Then there's a Gemara in Bava Kama that Eid Echad is believed by Kapara. Eid Echad comes and says, my Shah Amud killed an Adam. There's only one Eid. So if an Eid Echad comes and says, I owe you $1,000 moment, I owe you $1,000 knas, you don't believe him. You have to have two kosher Eid. Eid Echad comes and says that I owe you Kapara, my Shah Amud killed an Adam, and I have to pay you. So the Gemara says that Eid Echad is believed. It's Eid Echad Nam and B'Yisur. It's not considered Mamun. It's considered Yisur the Hetam. Just like by Kashrus, it's Yisur the Hetam. It's Eid Echad is believed. So Eid Echad says, I need a kapara and I have to pay you money. If they have to pay a mamun a knas, that's mamunus. A mamunus, you need two kosher eidim. But it says, I have to give you money, but Torah's kapara, that's not ben adam l'chaveir. That's like Yisra v'heta. That's ben adam l'mokim, so Eid Echad would be believed. And then one afkeminus, it's all based on Gemara. It's all based on Gemara. So that's, it doesn't have too much to do with our daf. But the Bali HaTesis came up with this einklal. The whole thing is based on the Gemara at the end of Bava Kama. Usually in the Shivas they never get that far. Kuf Dalara, Kuf Hei, somewhere over there. The Dafyami people learn everything, but in the Shivas they never get something.
If he didn't get past the Mamon part. And if you need two Aiden for the Mamon part, he doesn't get to the Kofar until he gets to the Mamon. The Mamon comes first.
There is no, what Mamon? There is no Mamon.
The Eidecha comes and says that Yo Kofar.
Eid Echad says that my Shah, I know I have a Shah Amud. My Shah Amud has already killed three people. And now Eid Echad comes and says that my Shah Amud killed that person the fourth time.
But he's also hired the Mammon
part? That's the Mammon that he pays, is the Kofar.
Oh, the whole thing is?
The whole thing is the Kofar, yeah. So the Gemara says Eid Echad is believed by Kofar. Yeah.
When the Torah, do we learn Komlei, Mitzvah, the Rabbim?
It's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Pasuk says that if kinot anashim yachtov, two people are fighting with each other, and accidentally they pushed over a pregnant woman and she lost her baby. So there's a din, they have to pay the mevulotis to the father of the baby, whether she's married to him or not. That's how the Gemara says. Even if she's not married to him, they have to pay the mevulotis to the father. But that's only im lo yeh osam. If the woman doesn't die, but what if accidentally not only the fetus dies, the woman dies. For killing an uber, you're not chayiv nisa. But for killing the mother, you are chayiv nisa. So if accidentally the mother gets killed, the mason yeah, then it says you don't pay the mei vladis, because that's the source of kam lebe deramine. That's one source. Then the Gemara has another source. The Gemara has what he need two psukim. So it's a long discussion. But the original source is by the mei vladis. So this is a famous tesis. The tesis comes up in the Einfar that there are. There's a third category of tashlum. There's Maman and Knas, and don't forget Kapara. And it's a whole different story. And some of what Taisus said, the Rash, Mishan, was also a Talmud of the Rabbi Natan. So the Rash has a commentary on Mishnayis, on Zroim, and on Taras. So the Rash on Mishnah Trumas, with Taisus quotes, Perek Zayin Mishnah Dal, he disagrees with the Taisus. He said, that's not. The Mishnah says that if the Zare Truma B'Shoigeg, he has to give Kermachemish, the Kohen cannot be Moichel. So Taisa says, why can he not be Moichel? Because it's Kapara, there's no Mechil on Kapara, it's Ben Adam Lamokan. Can only be Moichel, Shibud Mamen, Ben Adam Lachavera. So the Rush says he doesn't think that's true. He can be Moichel, and it's a different reason why he can't be Moichel. Okay. So that's a totally different topic. It doesn't really belong on our daf, but they mention it. The Torah says in Parshas Bechukosai, whenever someone donate something to Hegdish, so the Gizbar of the Hegdish has to offer auction it off to the highest bidder. So if the one who gave it to Hegdish wants to buy it back, it's not enough that he gives, let's say it's worth $200, not enough that he gives $200, it has to be Mosif Chomesh. And Chomesh means 25%. So, like over here, if you eat Zar Shachal Truma B'Shege, has to give Kamer Chomesh. So it says, V'asr Chamishisa, all of when you pay it back. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. There is an institution of Magdish Amanashi Iskapa Bochavera. Let's say somebody was Mechal Shabbos B'Shege, and he has to bring a Korban Chatos to the Beis Hamikdash. You can't afford it. A behema cost $1,000. You can't afford it. So he has a next door neighbor who is very friendly with him. So the next door neighbor says, I'll tell you what, I'll be Magdish one of my behemas on your behalf. You should be the Bala Korban when they're Makrivin in the Beis Hamikdash. It'll be oiler for you. You'll get the kapara. He ate. He was mechallel Shabbos b'shogeg. He ate chedav adam b'shogeg. He needs a kapara. So his neighbor, his friend, is magdash on his behalf. So the Gemara says, who is considered the bala korban? So the Gemara says, with respect to some dinim, the magdash is the bala korban. With respect to some dinim, the miskaper, the one on whose behalf the korban is going to be offered, is the bala korban. So the Gemara has that din, magdash moisef chaimish or miskaper oiset mura. If the gizbar is auctioning in and off to the highest bidder, and the one who has mafresh it, I'm the rich neighbor, and I was mafresh achatas on behalf of my next door neighbor. So I'm the bala korban with respect to being poida that I have to be maisel chamish, not the one on whose behalf the korban will be offered. He was not the magdish. The magdish is the bala korban with respect to tosefes chamish. However, miskaper is a tmura. Only the bala korban has the ability to make tmura. You're not allowed to make tmura. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamarosi. You're not allowed to make tmura. But if you did make tmura, then it's chal. So only the miskaper is considered the bala korban. The mafresh is not. So this din, that when you pay the hegdish, you have to moisel chomish, some early rishonim, maybe from the days of the goyim, they came up in the ninth fault, that when you do pidyon haben, they say you're being paid from hegdish. What does that have to do with being poida from Hegdish? Well, the baby is Hegdish. The baby is Hegdish. That's why I think the Sforna Chumash writes like that. So the Maharil has like that. A very strange concept. That if you have the baby boy and you didn't do the Pinyan Aben yet, so the parents are not allowed to play with their baby. As if the baby is Hegdish and is also Manoah, then when you make the Pinyan Aben, then it becomes Mutavano. It seems to be against the Beferish Gemara in the end of the first parak in Bechoris, where the Gemara says explicitly that that Pidyon Hegdish and Pidyon Maaser Sheni takes off the Issa Hegdish, takes off the Issa, you can eat the Maaser Sheni Chutz Lirushalayim. Pidyon HaBen is just a chiyuv mamon. It's not taking off the kedusha from anything. Just a chiyuv matana. And the Mishnah says, if the baby dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph, you don't do Pidyon HaBen. If the baby dies after Yom Lamed Aleph, you do Pidyon HaBen even though the baby is dead and buried. Let's say the father didn't do the Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph when you're supposed to, and it's already the baby's 5 years old and the baby dies. So the father has to do Pidyon HaBen even on a dead baby. So what do you mean taking off the Kedusha? There was no Kedusha in the first place and there was no Issa Anor. It's very strange, but that's what some Rishonim write such a lush. So the Ramban quotes this from Gaonim, and some of the early Rishonim quote this. If the father does the Pinyan HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph, then he gives five slot. But if the father delays the Pinyan HaBen, he does it after this month, there has to be Mosef Chomesh, because he's the Bailam. He was the father of the baby. So just like the Bailam on Mosef Chomesh, so the father has to be Mosef. I bet it's only five slot. So they say that's if you do the Pinyan HaBen Bizmanoi. But if you do it Shalom Bizmanoi, you postpone it, then you have to be Mosef Chomesh. We know that a bris milo, there's a difference, milo bizman and milo shlo bizman. Milo bizman on the Yom HaShmini is called a mitzvah bishlei Musa, and that's Deche Shabbos, Deche Yom Kippur. Milo shlo bizman is not Deche Shabbos, not Deche Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Acharonim have a whole discussion, Pidyon HaBen, that you do it as early as possible. You do it on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Is that because that's a mitzvah bishlei Musa? Or not, because v'iz magdim le mitzvah, why should you wait? Tomorrow, do whatever you can do today, you should do today, you shouldn't wait till tomorrow. So these Geoidim and these Rishonim hold the fairish. There's a difference between Pidyon HaBen Bizman and Pidyon HaBen Shelo Bizman. A difference in dollars and cents. If you do the Pidyon HaBen Bizmanai, then the din is you only give five slot. If you do the Pidyon HaBen postpone, it's an incomplete mitzvah, and then the din applies that the Magdish is the Bailam who's paid there. Has to be Moisev Chaimish, a very big chiddush. Ramban says it's utterly ridiculous. Ramban has Hilchas Pchoris. Ramban didn't have a riff on Pchoris, so he wrote an imitation riff. He wrote like a riff on Pchoris. So he has the whole parak about Yesh Pchor. Next to the last parak of Pchoris has all the dinim opinion of them. So he quotes this Shita Sagoinim and he says, never heard of such a thing, it's not correct. Common practice is not so. But it is a problem. Sometimes people have the ability to do the Pidyon HaBen Bizmanoi, and because the grandparents can't come from Florida, from Eretz Yisrael, well, whatever, for some reason, so they postpone it for a later day. So that's not really right. If it would only be an issue of Zviz Magdim LeMitzvahs, okay. But sometimes you don't do Zvizas. But if it's a difference that Pidyon HaBen Bizmanoi is a mitzvah Bishlei Musa, like a Mila Bizmanoi, so that's not really right to postpone. We have a practice, you can't really say it's a din. It came from the Trumas Adeshin. We have a practice that if the Yom Lamed Aleph falls out on Shabbos, you don't do the Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So in Europe, there's a Chumas from the Rav from Pinsk, Habaron Wolkin, Chumas Beis Sahara. So there was a Rav in Europe, there was a family had a baby boy, they did a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. They didn't know. Said the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't do Pidyon HaBen. It did Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So the rabbi of the village, Paskin, that they're not Yotze, they have to do it over again on Sunday. So they asked the Rav in Pinsk, because they said, that's utterly ridiculous. The whole thing that you don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos is very flimsy. I'll be pashtus, you should be allowed to do Pidyon HaBen, but that was a very old practice from the days of the early Rishonim. The Balei HaTos didn't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. But to say the B'di'evit, it's not chal, that doesn't make sense. But that's it's not really right. To postpone the Pidyon HaBen is not right, because many Gaonim and Rishonim hold that Pidyon HaBen, Yom Lamed Aleph, is like the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. And these Gaonim are of the opinion that the amount of money that you give is even different. You don't have to give cash. You give him a becher, you give him a svarim. It has to be the value.